Hey, welcome to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. We're really glad to have you with us, as always, on a Wednesday morning. Got a good show today. We're going to be talking about money, health insurance premiums, the possibility of shutdowns, and you name it, and we've got it. We're going to open up with Steve Bauer. He is Executive Director of the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund, and this is a Feds Helping Feds charity, and they've been working overtime lately with the FAA furloughs, all of the disasters we've had this incredible year around the country in a variety of things. And then we're going to follow up with Steve Losey from the Federal Times. Steve is going to give us the status of the current continuing resolution. This is dire threat number one, followed by another continuing resolution coming up in November, and give us something on the likelihood of a federal government shutdown. And we're also going to touch on health insurance premiums, because as you know, the government yesterday announced premiums for the 2012 year, and it's pretty good news, although some people are in a state of shock. But we're getting to that. Steve Bauer, are you with us?
I am indeed. Good morning.
Thank you, sir. You're standing by it. Where are you and why are you there?
I'm in San Antonio, Texas, a lovely city, and I was down here for a Blue Cross Blue Shield National Conference where they bring their reps in from all around the country. They're a big corporate supporter of FIA, and they surprised me with a $40,000 donation last night, and also told me that my premiums are going to go down by $1.52 a month next year, so I'll be able to buy an extra latte every quarter.
Can't beat
be
that.
Wonderful.
You know, Nanette Hayes told me in confidence that they were going to up the ante for you guys for FIA this year. I know they've been extremely generous supporters and couldn't come at a better time. This has been sort of the year of a one in a million year, hasn't it?
It sure has. We haven't had the 9/11 attack or Hurricane Katrina, but we started the year out with tornadoes in the southeast, followed by floods throughout the Midwest and in the Northeast. We had our hurricane on the East Coast for a change, as opposed to the Gulf Coast. Fires are still burning here in Texas. There's six federal employees whose home burned to the ground. And then we had the FAA folks, the 4,000 that were furloughed, and we had to help a lot of those folks. So it has been an absolute incredible year, and that's on top of the scholarships that we award every year and the day-to-day emergency assistance that we do for federal employees.
I was looking at my calendar the other day, and I think on a Tuesday it says earthquake 5.9, and then on a Saturday it was hurricane. So this is also the year of the 33-inch snow, so that blanketed the east. So it's been a very tough time. Now, what I think most people think that federal workers are, comfortably middle class, and that they are not likely to be needing financial assistance. But you know different, don't you?
Absolutely. There are so many federal employees that live paycheck to paycheck, and it's not because they overspend. It's because they don't make a tremendous amount of money. They have families to support. Given the general economic climate, there's an incredible number of spouses who have been laid off or ex-spouses who have been laid off and can't pay child support anymore. Typical federal employee that we help is mid-grade, single parent, young children in daycare, which is very, very expensive, and they truly cannot do without a paycheck. If that ever happens, they're in big deep trouble, and just the slightest little emergency, like Mama dies and she lives in L.A. and I have to fly there from Columbia, South Carolina, and if I buy a plane ticket, which I'm going to do, I won't be able to pay my rent next month. And we help out those folks every day throughout the year.
Well, I think FIA came to the forefront for a lot of people first in the attacks on Oklahoma City, whereby FIA got together with the corporate sponsors and the rank-and-file federal workers who contribute money to donate money to FIA. And you made a pledge then that you were going to put all of the children of parents who were killed or seriously injured in the Oklahoma City bombings, you were going to put all of those children through college, the college of their choice. And I believe one child was not yet born when his or her mother or father was killed.
Absolutely. That was 16 years ago, and I'm still writing checks for those kids. A little did I know at the time that there were going to be 200 children. We lost 168 people that day. We're about 90% of the way through, and we've kept our promise, and those kids are going to school and are incredibly thankful for the opportunity to do that.
And then and a repeat of that with the children of survivors and, again, of people who were seriously injured at the Pentagon.
Absolutely. We lost a good number of civilian federal employees, and that's our clientele, if you will. In fact, the majority of the people that died in 9/11 in the Pentagon were civilian employees. There were some soldiers and sailors, no airmen that died. And there were a good number who were severely disabled because of burns from the jet fuel as the jet crashed into the building. And we're helping all of those folks and putting them through school, and it's an honor to be able to do so.
Well, that's the big ticket stuff, and that's the kind of thing that people write feature articles on. But as you pointed out, you have a situation most recently in August, 4,000 Federal Aviation Administration employees are furloughed through no fault of their own because Congress was having one of its food fights up there about some unrelated matter. But 4,000 federal workers, about 65,000 contractors, were furloughed. The assumption we thought at the time was that they would certainly get back pay. Turns out that's not going to happen. So a lot of these people had to apply for unemployment benefits, and a number of them turned to FEA, didn't they?
They sure did. We had, out of those 4,000, just 54 people, but that's 54 people that we wouldn't have had to help otherwise, that needed some temporary assistance because they did not get 2 weeks' worth of pay. And, you know, I think if most of the listeners think about just suddenly not getting a paycheck one day, a lot of us would be scrambling. It was a pleasure to help those folks. But as the possibility of furloughs for the entire government came to light again, we just did some quick calculations, and we figured out that we would probably end up having to help about 20,000 people using the same percentages with about $16.5 million in assistance should the government actually shut down. It's a frightening prospect.
And it's a very real prospect, too, because even this weekend there's some dispute. The Senate has rejected a House plan. The House has rejected a Senate plan. Yet the House is going to vote again on Monday. And I'm going to ask Steve Losey how that's going to work out, the logistics of that. But let's assume for a moment there is no furlough anytime soon. There is very likely that there could be another situation like this coming up in November. I want to talk to you about the logistics of this when we come back here on WFED 1500 AM.
Hi, welcome to Best Buy. Can I help you?
Yeah, my brother got an Insignia HD Radio Portable last month, and he really enjoys his workouts now.
Yep, HD Radio broadcasts are great. All kinds of new stuff on the HD2, HD3 channels.
And the Insignia HD Radio Portable is $49.99?
Yes, it's a great value.
Whoa, lead the way.
And did you know Insignia also offers an HD Radio Boombox for just $99?
Insignia HD Radio receivers. Get them now at Best Buy. HD Radio. More radio, more value.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon family groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-Al-Anon.
I have this dream where I'm creating some of today's most sophisticated navigation technology. My work is helping transportation and aerospace industries change the way we think about traveling from point A to point B. My ideas are being built into components that millions of people... Whoa, this isn't a dream. It's the dream job I got with my bachelor's degree in electrical engineering from Capital College.
Capital's electrical engineering program equips you with job-ready skills to design and build leading-edge systems. Whether you want a broad-based understanding or expertise in a specialized field, our exclusive job offer guarantee can connect you to success. And Capital is one of just 14 colleges and universities endorsed by IEEE as a provider of quality engineering education.
If you can dream it, Capital can help you live it. Capital College. It isn't for everyone, but it's perfect for me.
For information on campus tours and open houses at Capital College, visit capital-college.edu/radio. That's capital with an O, -college.edu/radio.
What will you do with all the time you save by letting Force 3 take care of all your last-minute federal IT purchases? We put that question up on Facebook a few days ago, and here are some of the answers. I'd do my nails. I'd get something to eat. I'd call my girlfriend. Guys, those things take minutes. You could save tons more time than that. After all, Force 3 has a massive GSA schedule, live operators working late every night, and we're an authorized contract holder of Soup 4. Anything you need, call 800-391-0204 and you're done. You'll have time to do something great, write a rock opera, build a ranch. Call 800-391-0204. Then visit Force 3 on Facebook and tell us what you did with all the time you saved. We'll share the best answers. Force 3, let's do something great. Force 3 is a Cisco Gold partner and one of the largest providers of Cisco to the federal government. Visit force3.com to find out more about our leading technologies.
My wife's monthly trip to the beauty salon was really adding up. I mean, between dyeing her roots and trimming the dead ends, we were going dead broke. So to save some money, I'm cutting it for her while she sleeps. Shh. No, don't wake up yet. Go to sleep, go to sleep. You're almost gorgeous. Oh, she's gonna love this.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to Geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Federal News Radio is a proud partner of FEA, the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund. In the past 25 years, FEA has helped more than 21,000 federal families with over $18 million in aid. By donating just $1 per pay period, you can help federal families keep the lights on, clean up after a natural disaster, or send a kid to college. Keep your CFC dollars in the federal family and make your pledge to FEA 11185 today. Learn more at FEA.org. That's FEEA.org.
Surprise, surprise. Speaking of FEA, this is Mike Causey here on Your Turn, and Steve Bauer, the executive director of FEA, is on the line even as we speak, calling from the airport in San Antonio, where he's been down there visiting with the Blue Cross folks. Steve, I think people can understand you have a scholarship fund for the kids, the survivors of Oklahoma City. You have a scholarship fund for the children of people who were killed or seriously injured at the Pentagon and things like that. But what happens when something comes up very, very quickly? And this year, I guess, is a textbook case, the tornadoes in the southeast or the flooding all over the country. How do you know? How do you know who's in trouble? Who gives you a call? Is it a federal executive board? I mean, do you just get on a plane and head for Birmingham? How does that work?
Sometimes it's the federal executive board. Sometimes it's members of some of our board agencies, management associations, and unions are all involved with FEA. We'll take the information anywhere we can get it, who needs what and where they need it. And once we learn of the extent of a tragedy, we will reach out to the folks that have been impacted and try to help them as quickly as possible to get help them get back on their feet. So it really varies by, how concentrated it was. The tornadoes hit several states. These days, thankfully, with email, fax, people go to our website, FEA.org, and they can get an application for help. They can email it or fax it into us, and we can get help to them almost immediately.
Well, I remember one time, I think it was a hurricane in Florida, that I believe you went down literally with a suitcase full of cash, and you met some federal people there, postal people, maybe IRS, maybe Social Security, and you all sort of made the rounds distributing money and checks and that kind of thing?
Well, that was certainly the pre-internet days, the electricity was out in southern Florida. There was Hurricane Andrew, and people literally needed cash. There was no ATMs there because there was no electricity. You couldn't use them. People needed money to buy water, to buy food. So a lot of people needed generators, and it was a tremendous cooperative effort on everybody's behalf. And it was an interesting experience flying with $20,000 and $50 and $100 bills in my pocket and being very nervous and kind of looking like a drug runner flying to Miami, Florida.
So. You were going in the wrong direction, of course, but that they wouldn't know that. You mentioned the federal executive boards. They're stationed in key cities around the country, and they're made up of representatives from each federal agency in that area, that geographic area. How well do you work with them?
We work with most of them very, very well. If something happens in their area, they can instantaneously send out messages to the heads of all of the agencies in their area. They do that to let them know that help is available and encourage them to have their affected employees to contact FEA directly. So they're an invaluable resource to us. It's one of the things that they do very well because they're always in touch with all of the agencies. And, you know, people, I think a lot of people think you can press a button and say, please send this to all federal employees. But federal employees work for a myriad of agencies. They are in all different kind of occupations, and they are literally in tens of thousands of locations around the entire world.
Well, I guess that's the thing, too. There are many communities where you don't have rocket scientists or nuclear physicists or what have you, but every community in America has a federal worker or two or three or more in it and a representative of the Postal Service. So I guess when you must watch the Weather Channel and look for severe weather, really bad situations, and then think, I'm probably going to have to go there or send something there.
Absolutely. It just happens all the time, and it seems to be more frequent, or maybe we just are all more aware of what's going on in the world now in this wonderful internet age. So we don't have many dull days, let's put it that way. We're always out helping somebody.
Well, recently, I think they said the other day that we've only had 2 days of sunshine in the Washington area for the month of September, which is almost over. And the Washington Post recently had a story about this spring and summer, and the fall as well, where we've had 1,000-year rain, and that is we've had enough rainfall that is the kind of thing you won't see again for 1,000 years. So this has been an unusually tough year. We start out with 30-inch snow in the East Coast, which did a lot of damage. And then, as you mentioned, the tornadoes in the Southwest, the drought in Texas. We've had a couple of hurricanes come through. We've had some severe weather storms. So how many people do you think FEA has helped this year?
Well, it's interesting. I was just looking, and last year through our emergency assistance program for the entire year of 2010, we helped slightly less than 1,000 people. This year, we're only 3/4 of the way through the year, and we're already over 1,000 people, and the dollar amount is up 25% over the entire year last year. So the numbers just keep going up every single day, and a day doesn't go by that we're not helping at least one person, and many days go by where we're helping 30, 40, or 50 people. It's just been an incredible, incredible year.
Now, during the FAA furloughs, and correct me if I'm wrong here, you were making loans to people. Is that correct?
Right. We did some grants, which people don't have to repay, but more frequently in a situation like that, and of course at that time we were thinking they were going to get back pay, which has not materialized, we make no interest loans, and they pay us back through payroll deductions, and they federal employees like that. They're very proud people. They like to know that when they repay their loan to us, again with no interest, that money is being recycled and goes back into the emergency assistance fund to help other people down the line. So they are amazing, amazingly good repayers, if you will.
I noticed in your newsletter, and you were kind enough to plug us on the show and the fact that you're going to be appearing today, you said, did I read correctly, that your newsletter goes out to 60,000 people?
That is correct, and that number continues to climb as more people become aware of us. They are able to get the scholarship application that way. People can go on to FEA.org and sign up for the newsletter. But people are very interested in what's going on in the federal community. It really brings all federal employees together. This time of year, it's great if they get the newsletter because it reminds them it is combined federal campaign time, and that's, you know, we're feds helping feds, and the way feds can contribute is to FEA through the combined federal campaign.
Well, I know you're in San Antonio at a Blue Cross function of their federal program, and they're one of your most dominant corporate sponsors. Who else from the corporate world gives FEA money?
GEICO has been a long-term supporter, specifically for the emergency assistance program, long-term care partners, And then we have a host of other corporations that do business with the federal government that, that make smaller contributions, sometimes one time, sometimes every year. So there are a lot of people that give back, people that rely on the federal community for business, and they appreciate what federal employees do, as FIA does, and that, as I know you do, and this is a way of them giving back and feeling good about it. And some of those folks do, like the Blue Cross Blue Shield reps around the country, often end up referring people to us that need help because they're in contact with federal employees all over the country.
What's the status and the timing of your scholarship program now? Where are we now with that?
We've just finished the awards for this year, and the next set of applications will be available January 1st, and it'll be available again on our website. People can go there and sign up, so it'll automatically appear in their mailbox. They submit applications by the end of March, and then we make the awards over the summer. And in the fall, in the midst of all the hurricanes, we're writing a lot of scholarship checks for people as well.
So, and the criteria is you need to be a federal worker. I guess you can be a retiree or the child or is a spouse. Who's eligible for these scholarships?
For active federal employees, it's the federal employees themselves, their spouses, and their children. They have to have 3 years of service, and it is merit-based, not needs-based. We consider federal employees, and having been one, I know it's true, the great middle class, which means you're too rich to get financial aid and you're too poor to send your kid to college. So it's based on community service. We have them write an essay about government. It's based, of course, on their academics and a recommendation. But basically, if the federal employee has 3 years of service and the student is carrying a 3.0 grade average, which is a B average, then they're eligible to apply. For retirees, it's a little bit different. They have to be members of NARF because NARF finances that program, and that program is for children and grandchildren of NARF members.
Okay, and the amount of the scholarships?
They range from as little as $500 to as much as $7,500. A lot of that depends on CFC contributions. We return that where it came from, corporate sponsors that give money, and then on top of the regular scholarships that we do that average a little over $1,000 each, we award to the very best of the best seven $5,000 scholarships from what we call our NTEU FIA Super Scholarship Fund.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, Steve, thank you so much for being with us, and have a good trip. I know you had to delay your flight out of San Antonio, but it's a great town. Gave you a couple hours to spend on the Riverwalk. And we'll be wishing you a lot of luck and talking to you soon.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Steve.
We'll
be right back here on WFED 1500 AM.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. CDWG, the people who get it.
I work to help our nation, and my work makes an impact. I help my government and our allies keep citizens safe from terrorism and cyber warfare. I work for Mantech International Corporation.
Around the world and at home, Mantech employees work side by side with our troops and government to protect our homeland. We have more than 10,000 professionals doing rewarding work every day. If you're an IT professional, security expert, intelligence analyst, or engineer, apply today at mantech.com/careers.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
The Obama administration wants to hear from the public about how to make federal agency websites more useful and more relevant. The White House and the General Services Administration have started what they call an online dialogue, looking for ideas on how to reinvent federal websites so they're more useful, less frustrating, and more friendly to mobile technology. A task force of agency CIOs is working on an overarching national strategy for .gov websites, trying to streamline the government's websites. web presence.
General Dynamics Information Technology is dedicated to providing the latest, highest quality information technology services and resources to help organizations meet their mission objectives. Large-scale IT systems and communications networks are the strategic and operational heart of defense, intelligence, civilian government, and private business. They require the expertise of a company that delivers results. General Dynamics Information Technology. Information technology and professional services. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
This is John Gilroy from Federal Tech Talk. You know, I've done over 200 interviews here on Federal News Radio, but many listeners still ask, yes, John, but what does your company do? Well, my company is called Armature. For the past decade, we have worked with organizations to help improve the way they collect data. You may call it comprehensive data collection, data analysis, or even outcomes measurements. If your agency has any problems with collecting, analyzing, or displaying data, then please visit our website at armaturecorp.com. We can help.
If you want to enjoy the best Greece has to offer, you just can't miss the St. Catherine's annual Greek Festival this weekend in Falls Church, Virginia. Come out and enjoy the best homemade Greek foods in the area, like lamb, Athenian chicken, calamari, Greek salads, and don't forget the wonderful Greek desserts like baklava. You must taste this homemade sweet this weekend in Falls Church, Virginia at St. Catherine's annual Fall Festival. Call 703-671-1515. 703-671-1515.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
This past week, researchers reported a key step toward a possible treatment for AIDS, and it was discovered by players of a computer game. Using the online game Foldit, people around the world can collaborate and compete to predict how proteins fold. Zoran Popovich at the University of Washington says it's beyond fun.
People from all walks of life can actually hold the answer to some big scientific discovery.
Popovich asked gamers to model the 3D structure of a key protein from an AIDS-like virus. It had stumped scientists for 15 years.
We're leveraging human creativity, something that obviously computers cannot do well at all.
The game might also be used to personalize learning.
We figured out a new way to create really highly skilled people on a particular domain.
Think your kid as a math whiz. To find out more about this and other engineering innovation stories, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. Glad to have you with us today. And remember, our shows are archived on our homepage, so you can listen to them or recommend them to a friend anytime. So that's a nice service. And some of the information we have here is very complicated, and it needs maybe listening twice to get it. My guest now is Steve Losey. He's a senior writer with the Federal Times. Steve, are you there?
I'm here. How are you doing, Mike?
I believe I heard your voice yesterday at the OPM Health Benefits press conference.
Oh, yep. I was there.
Very good. Hey, I want to ask you about that, but first, get something kind of out of the way. We've had several emails from people who are inquiring about the continuing resolution. They're confused, and I must say I am too. Cliff Miles in Linden, New Jersey, said the Senate rejected a House-approved continuing resolution. Then the Senate approved its own CR, and it goes to the House for a vote Monday. He says, does this mean the government will shut down in between time?
No. One of the delightful little quirks about how Congress works is that, you know, when it hits midnight on the last day of an appropriations bill, it's not like the gates suddenly slam down and boom, the government's shut. If there is progress, if there is, if everybody agrees, okay, a funding bill is imminent, even if it's not specifically passed through all the houses and signed by the president, the government can still agree to keep open. I think it's how things happened back in the spring when we had the first of our now three shutdown threats. I believe it passed the House and the Senate on the Friday night. It was supposed to shut down. It wasn't signed by the president until, I believe, Saturday afternoon, something like that. So if things are imminent, even if it's not specifically passed, the government will still stay open.
You know, this will date me, but when I used to cover the Hill, a very young reporter, and I was up at the House Gallery one night, and it was about 2 minutes to midnight, and if something didn't happen by midnight, you know, the world was going to end, civilization as we knew it. But it was very important, and it didn't happen. They didn't take the vote. Clock passed, went past midnight, and I got up to leave to go and call in my story. And one of the old timers said, "Sit down, kid." And I did. And the Speaker of the House changed the hands on the clock. He moved it back 10 minutes. Literally, he had that power. So I believe anything. But well, no. Now, what about the next time around? Assuming they get out of this, then the fiscal year still begins October 1.
Yes.
Short-term budgets for lots of places. What happens next? I mean, we're going to go through this again?
Yes, most likely. I hate to say it, but the budget bill that the House voted on the other day only takes us through November 18th, at which point I'm sure our lawmakers will come to some kind of a magnanimous agreement by that point. But if they don't, we're going to have to do this all over again. And by the way, that was a little bit of sarcasm coming.
Well, it's well deserved sarcasm. I was going to add to it. I don't ever remember seeing the Congress as confused as this and as mean spirited in so many ways.
Yeah, I mean, we've had shutdowns before. We've had shutdown threats before. But I mean, I unless I'm mistaken, I can't remember the last time we've had three in 1 year, and it's probably going to be four when mid-November comes around.
Well, you know what's mind blowing is you had the shutdown of the 4,000 non safety personnel for FAA, but many of those people were involved in medical testing and whatnot, and clearing pilots and crews and whatnot, mm-hmm. and they continued to work. They worked on their own, just doing their jobs. And it turns out now apparently none of them are going to get retroactive pay. So there's a message there.
Yeah, last time we had a actual shutdown, most of the government shutdown during the Clinton years, federal employees did get retroactive pay even if they were furloughed. But given the partisan divide in Congress, given the sometimes hostility shown to federal employees by some lawmakers, given the serious budget deficits we're seeing, I think federal employees can't count on Congress coming through with their retroactive pay if it does come to furloughs. These are just the times we live in, unfortunately.
Right, and not much help from the White House either, although the president had strong support from all of the federal and postal unions, or at least their leadership. But Jack Lew, the budget director, said yesterday at this Partnership for Public Service that there's going to be hard times ahead for government workers, and he used the term, and it was we had it on our website. He said possibility of pay cuts, even he used that term. So these are tough times for people.
Yes, they are.
Shifting over to better news, and I didn't think we were going to have any good news this year, but it turns out the health insurance premiums have come out, and OPM. Did a very good job with this. You covered it. We covered it. Just about everybody's covered it. But the average premium, and it's always a little tricky to talk averages, but the average premium is going up about half as much as it did in a percentage basis this time last year. So that's very good news for people.
That's right. It's the lowest increase since 2008.
Okay. And I got an email here from, you know, you rarely get good emails, but says, as a federal retiree living in South Florida, this is Jerry Davis, surprised to read your column saying the average premium is only going to go up 6.7%. That's, he's talking about for HMOs.
Mm.
Said, my pleasantness changed when I actually went to the rate tables. My premiums with AvMed will increase 41%. Yes, I said 41%. I guess it's time to shop for another plan. Thanks for letting me vent. Don't blame me a bit there, Jerry. And a nice one from David Hopkins, who said, column today was great news. My Blue Cross plan went down 72 cents per paycheck. That is unbelievable. Despite the pay freeze, possibly 3 years now, I just might get an increase in my take-home pay. Are there any strings attached, or is this a misprint? I hope not. No, David, it is not a misprint. That's the way it's looking. Got one from Robin Shellen, and she said, hold the good news a little bit. She said that she used to be in HR in the private sector, and that many private sector plans permit people, if it's a family of two, to buy a plan with lower premiums simply for a family of two. Whereas in the federal program, it doesn't matter whether you have two people or 15. And she was talking about the 280,000 young adults that came into the federal health program as a result of the president's health care bill and permitting the the age for dependents to be raised to 26. And I said in that column that it was possible that the addition of 280,000 mostly probably healthy young adults would be a good thing for the health plans, but she says not necessarily so.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, I had the same thought as well. I mean, the people who are, you know, in their early 20s up to 26, when we had the healthcare debate, the healthcare reform debate, you heard this term, I believe, either young invincibles or young indestructibles or something along those lines. The people who are in kind of the young adults in the prime of their life, they don't get sick a whole lot. They don't have a whole lot of medical conditions. So the thought was getting more of them on the rolls would help kind of bring healthcare costs down. And I asked OPM about this, if the addition of those 280,000 young adults might have had an effect, and they kind of dismissed that. They said, well, we have no real evidence showing that the addition of all these young people brought the premiums down. So take that for what it is. One thing they did say is that they have, over the last year or so, focused on pushing insurers to lower the costs of their prescription drug benefits. I mean, those prescription drugs are a growing and a large chunk of the cost of premiums, and it's something that critics have said OPM needs to focus more on. And it looks like those are starting to pay off. I talked to some people from some of these insurers, and they said that they're trying to encourage more people to use generic drugs. Generic drugs are a big thing. And one thing that is working out is there are an awful lot of brand name drugs that are coming off patent in over the next year or so. I believe by the end of the year, Lipitor, a major cholesterol drug, is coming off the patent, and so eventually they'll be able to you'll be able to get generic forms of Lipitor. Next year, you've got Avandia, a diabetic drug, Lexapro, an antidepressant that are both coming off patent, and several more that I'm not going to run through.
Right, but they'll be available in generic form.
Exactly, and that's a major thing that is going to help federal employees keep their costs down, is these generics.
Help a lot of people, yeah, that's very good. I heard you ask that question, and I heard the response, and I was thinking to myself, of course, we don't know the numbers yet. We know there were, what do they say, 280,000 that came in. But my thought is, I'll bet a lot of them were dependents, if you will, 26-year-old dependents of single parents. And in that case, the single parent would have to go from a single plan to a family plan, and that would increase the amount of premiums paid. And also, and this may be several years before we feel the impact of this, but the federal workforce is aging. But if you suddenly add 200,000 or 300,000 new people who are 26 or under each year, that does, I would think, do wonders for your risk pool.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, the overall population in the FEHBP is 8 million people. And so, you know, a quarter million or so, that's only 1/32nd of it. So it may not have a huge amount, but you know what they say, every little bit helps.
Every little bit helps. Taking you to take a short break here, talking with Steve Losey from the Federal Times. We'll be right back.
This week's Kaiser Permanente Experts in Health topic is hypertension, featuring Dr. John Lee, an internist with the Mid-Atlantic Permanente Medical Group.
Blood pressure measures the force in your vessels when your heart pumps blood. Hypertension, or high blood pressure, is when the numbers are greater than 140/90 and stay high consistently over time. Here are some tips to help lower your blood pressure. Stick to a heart-healthy diet. Eat less fat and sodium and eat more fiber. Limit alcohol intake. Try to exercise at least 30 minutes a day, 5 times a week. Quit smoking. Achieve and maintain a healthy weight. Talk with your doctor to see what medications, if any, can help lower your blood pressure. Hypertension rarely causes symptoms, but it can lead to heart attacks and strokes. That's why it's called the silent killer. Kaiser Permanente encourages you to know your blood pressure and talk with your physician about how to achieve the level that's right for you. Be well and thrive.
To learn more about Kaiser Permanente's experts in health, visit kp.org/midatlantic and click Meet Our Doctors.
The Pentagon and Beyond is brought to you by EADS North America.
Iraq has bought 18 F-16 warplanes from the U.S. This is a step forward in a still unclear discussion about what the U.S. role will be in Iraq after the drawdowns complete. U.S. military officials say Iraq has spent $3 billion on the fighters. Both countries say a more capable Air Force is a priority. It's not yet clear whether the Lockheed Martin F-16s they're buying are the standard AB models or more advanced CD variants. I'm J.J. Green.
How can we determine which armed aerial scout helicopter is best for the U.S. warfighter? By proving it in competition. EADS North America is ready to prove that our AAS-72X is superior to any other armed aerial scout helicopter out there. So let the competition begin. Saying you're the best isn't good enough for our warfighters. You need to prove it. EADS North America. Commitment defines us.
How is the U.S. Department of Defense improving its business operations? What is DOD doing to modernize its business processes and to use resources more efficiently? And how is the DOD promoting management and operational excellence? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and much more with his very special guest, Beth McGrath, Deputy Chief Management Officer at the U.S. Department of Defense. It's next week on the Business of Government Hour.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
And now, the Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
Feds are wondering what the Wall Street roller coaster might mean for their retirement. Experts say if you're ready, you might want to consider delaying for a while if your fund isn't quite up to snuff. Take advantage of current low tax rates by converting a traditional IRA into a Roth IRA. And plan now for future long-term care. But you must keep in mind that your plan must fit your needs. One size does not fit all. I'm Amy Morris.
WEPA, a nonprofit association, has just announced another 25% premium refund. Since 1996, WEPA has returned over $58 million in premiums, and the average WEPA policyholder has received over $1,700 in refund checks. WEPA also offers life insurance at rates far less than the FEGLI program. Is it a time you considered WEPA for your family's life insurance needs? For better insurance, better prices, and better value, visit WAEPA.org. Once again, that's WAEPA.org.
Join 36,000 people from around the world, including senior leaders from the Army, DOD, and Congress, at the 2011 AUSA Annual Meeting and Exposition. This professional development forum is October 10th through the 12th at the Washington Convention Center and features exhibits on 2 levels and in 5 halls, all centered around this year's theme, America's Army, the Strength of the Nation. Admission is free but limited to qualified persons. For more information, please visit www.ausa.org.
This is Mark Amtower. I've been advising contractors for almost 30 years, and when they need agency contacts, I always recommend Carroll's GovSearch. With over 350,000 contact listings and over 1,000 government organization charts, they help you find the people you need to reach in all levels of government. Give them a try. Get a free organization chart and a sample listing from their database. Contact Gordon Peel at 703-757-8228. Carroll Publishing, bringing government to you like no other.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. I'm talking with Steve Losey from the Federal Times. We're talking about the continuing resolution, and he says we're going to be going through this again about mid-November. And woe is us. But good news is bad news, Steve, I guess.
Yeah.
In our case. You know, the OPM hit a couple of home runs this week, one with the premiums that they have negotiated, the relatively low premiums. And also the timing was very perfect, too, because there's a front page story in the Washington Post today which says health costs shift to workers. And it says employers or private sector employers are really tightening down. And of those that all still offer health insurance, and many don't, many have been increasing premiums dramatically. And also they've been increasing the deductibles. And there's a little chart here, if I'm reading it correctly. It says that in small firms, 50% of the small firms in 2011 were charging employees single plans with annual deductibles of $1,000 or more. That compares with 16% in 2006. And in the large firms, it's gone from 6% to 22% now have deductibles of $1,000 or more per employee in their health plans. And a number of other things. The OPM material that you and I got yesterday cited CalPERS, the California State Government Insurance Program, which is, I guess, one of the biggest in the country, after the FEHBP, and how it had gone up 6 or 7%. And I mean, a lot of federal workers don't like to hear that they've got it good, they've got it made, and in many cases that's not true. But as far as health insurance goes, this is about the best plan on the planet, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the Kaiser Foundation put out a report the other day, a survey showing a 9% increase in annual premiums for a family of four, and I mean that's, you know, well more than twice what the federal employees' premium increase is going to be. Now, the major unions, the American Federation of Government Employees and National Treasury Employees Union, put out a release kind of throwing cold water on the news about the lower premium increase, saying, well, it comes when we're in the first year of a two-year pay freeze, and it's still going up. But you have to look at things in context. I mean, healthcare is a major problem that we haven't quite licked. That is the inflation in healthcare costs that we haven't quite licked in this country. So, I mean, tamping it down is really about the best I think anyone can hope for, and not keeping these costs from really exploding and going all over the place. So I think, I mean, we come out and we knock OPM a good bit for, you know, some of the mistakes they made, but I think it's also important to give them credit. I think they have exerted the appropriate exerted the appropriate pressure on insurers, and they have done a decent job holding down the cost this year.
And this may have some hope for next year too, because as they tighten down on the prescription drugs, and as you said, is the number of very widespread used drugs when the patents expire and they go generic, this could be good news next year too. And understandably, you know, you and I can say this is a great year. The federal program is great. The increase is only 3.8% on average. A union official who has to run for re-election every 2 years against somebody who says they're not trying hard enough can't say that. They just can't say it.
Yeah, there's definitely the politics going on in those kinds of statements.
What do you see now? Have you managed to look at the benefit side of it? I know the OPM person said that minimal changes in the health plans, but I guess there are always some.
Yeah, there's some, not a whole lot. I talked to the president of GEHA, G-E-H-A, mm-hmm. One of the major government employees, health insurers, and they said that they have they've got a few tweaks. They're no longer covering over-the-counter prescription drugs anymore. It used to be for GEHA, you'd be able to just pay your copay, and they'd cover the rest of over-the-counter prescription strength medication, but things like Claritin and Allegra. But now they're no longer doing that. That's one of the things that they try to do to hold down their own pharmacy costs. But on the other hand, they are adding a benefit for they're offering a health club affinity program. They're making it so This is Blue Cross. I'm sorry. The Blue Cross is making it so members who can join a health club network for just a $25 initiation fee, $25 monthly fee, which kind of ties in with the overall wellness effort that the federal government has been focusing on the last couple of years. So there's no real overall huge changes, but there are minor tweaks. Some
right.
good, some bad.
And these affinity things look like a win-win because you don't have to take them. But if you do belong to a certain carrier, they may give you a small rebate if you take a three classes in smoking cessation or weight reduction or that kind of thing.
And yeah, gay and lesbian federal employees who have same-sex partners, there's going to be a couple of affinity programs where their partners would be able to sign up for health care. Now, this wouldn't be under the FEHBP program, which means the federal government wouldn't be subsidizing or helping pay the cost of your premiums. Your partner would still have to cover the whole cost, but it would at least open up.
At least permits them to have insurance. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Under a very good program. And that's a good point because the government pays on average about 70% of the premium. Now, that's not going to change, is it?
No. The share the government is paying is staying more or less the same. I mean, there's a little up and down here or there, but it's more or less staying in that 70% range.
You know, I guess the surprise, and it really, when you think about it, it shouldn't be, because HMOs traditionally have been very low fees and minimal paperwork, and they appeal to a lot of people. But the complaints we're getting by email here are from South Florida and Michigan, from federal workers and, in many cases, retirees, who say that their premiums in their particular HMO are going up dramatically. And,
mm-hmm.
and one I read earlier at the show said his premium in South Florida is going up 41%.
Mm.
So the HMOs, they've been saying this for years, that the HMOs are getting more like fee-for-service plans, and the fee-for-service are getting more like HMOs, and that some areas of managed care and preferred providers and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
What do you think about these consumer-driven and high-deductible plans?
Well, it's an option that I think they work for some people. They might not work for other people. The high deductible plans, I believe they're the kind of plans that would work for someone who has is expecting to spend a lot on healthcare, and if they meet that deductible, it's beyond that. It's a much lower cost.
You need to do your homework on that. There's a number of people that do use those consumer-driven programs, and some of them even make money. They get the equivalent of a money in the bank, but you really have to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Steve, listen, we're going to get back here next week. Thank you very much for being with us. Thanks for listening. And remember, again, our shows are archived on our homepage, so you can tune in at your leisure and tell a friend about it. And this is a particularly good show because of the information from Steve Bauer about feds helping feds, and the health insurance information. So we'll see you next Wednesday. Stay safe.